Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf, Hayomi Maseches Bava Kama Daf Nun Tes. We actually got up to the 10th line off the top of the Amud. Amar Abaye. So Abaye, you know, throughout Shas, is accustomed to sort of bundling together, tying together various opinions and presenting them as sort of going on the same track. So once again, we have Amar Abaye. We have two opinions which actually are sort of on the same track. We have Rabbi Yisi Yekalili, which was discussed yesterday. So if you recall, in the Braisa yesterday, we discussed a fellow whose animal consumes shachas, green grain, which basically means grain which has not yet matured. How much do you pay? Current value, which is negligible, or according to Rabbi Yisi Yekalili, you look at potential. So you pay according to what it would be worth when it's fully grown. That's an interesting opinion. You look at the future. So Abaye says that this opinion of Rabbi Yisi Yekalili corresponds and matches with Rabbi Shmuel. Amru davar echad, they're both on the same track. Rabbi Yisi Yekalili hadamron. Rabbi Yisi Yekalili is what we just mentioned. And where do we find Rabbi Shmuel? The son, you have a price. Meitav sodeyo, meitav karmo yishalem. When one inflicts damage, he pays the best. Which basically means if you're going to pay land, then it has to match the best quality land of the victim. So you have a choice of, you know, you have several pieces of land that you can pay with. Meitav sodeyo shal nizek, umeitav karmo shal nizek, divrei Rabbi Shmuel. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, you have to give meitav. Meitav of the nizek. We'll see in a minute exactly what this means. Rabbi Kiva Omer loy bo hakosuv ela ligboiz lenizokin mene idus. The point of the pasuk is not to focus on the victim. Rather, the point is just to teach us this general principle, this general idea. If you choose to pay with property, with land, then it must be idus, the highest quality that you pay. Certainly, if you damage hegdish. So actually, we had a long discussion about this brisa back in the Vav. Here we're just bringing it briefly. So according to Rabbi Kiva, the point is pay the best. Rabbi Shmuel speaks about the best of the victim. What does that mean? Says Abaye, don't think, don't interpret, don't explain Rabbi Shmuel's words based on Rabbi Idibar Avin, who had a different explanation, which is unrelated to our sugya. The Amar Rabbi Idibar Avin kigoin, it means like this: Sha'achlo aruga bein arugais. Your animal ate one of the, you know, patches over there. We're not sure which patch he ate. Was it a v'le'adinan ikhush avay? Was it a weak one with, you know, just sparsely, you know, filled with vegetables? Ishmein avay, was it a good, luscious one? We're not sure which one he ate, how much value he damaged. And what's the halacha? You pay as though you damaged the best. Damrinan lay, we tell him, kol mishalim ishmeina b'meitav. You have to pay as though you ate the best. We're not sure which one, so we assume the worst, and you pay the best that's found over there. We assume that the patch was, you know, loaded with vegetables, and you pay. Not only do you pay, but you pay b'meitav de'ika hashta. So yeah, you pay the best of what you find there. So if you have a choice of various patches, some are filled, some are empty, some are luscious, some are measly, you pay as though we assume your animal ate the best. So you pay as though he ate the best patch that you can find over there. That's Rav Yehuda Bar Avin's way of interpreting Rabbi Shmuel. Meitav sadeo shel nizek, the best of the nizek. No, says Abaye. Dachli amrin. We don't interpret the Rabbi Shmuel that way. I have a different way of understanding Rabbi Shmuel. You can't obligate the perpetrator to pay more than you can prove. My time of why? Simple idea. Meitzi mechaber, all of a right. When you extract money, you have to prove your case. You can't just hold them accountable by speculation. So that's not what he meant. Ela b'meitav d'lekamei. All Rabbi Shmuel was saying was like this: your animal ate something which is still in the middle of growing. Rather than paying its current, you know, negligible value, you pay b'meitav d'lekamei. You imagine, you picture, you anticipate, you forecast what it would have been worth, fully grown. Mind you, what does that mean? Kek l'salik. As though it's fully grown. So bottom line, we have two Tanoim, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yisi Yekalili in our sugya, do both conform to the same idea. It's about potential, it's about future value. But the other opinions in our Braisa disagreed. Certainly the Chachamim, they say, no, it's all about what it's worth now and no more. Amar, let's go back to our Braisa, which discusses an animal consuming vineyard produce. So there are different, you know, stages in the vine's growth. We have pre-blossom, we have post-blossom when it's already budding, and we have it more advanced, more looking like a fruit. So how much do you pay at each stage? Amar, let's go back to the Braisa. So we had Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Omer, he quotes Mishum Shimon. When do we just charge you for current value? It consumed, you know, these gefanim, these clusters of grapes, or te'enim, these figs, when they were still at a very early premature stage. Pre-blossom, before the flower even, you know, blossom. So let's make a deal. Apparently, if it reached the next stage, which is called smadar, which according to Rashi, it means post-blossom. Okay, so once, you know, it's blossom and you see the buds, that's called smadar. So if it ate the grapes at that late stage, at that relatively, you know, advanced stage, Ryan oisan ki'ilu anavim oimdesli batzer. So we charge you full, as though they are fully grown grapes. That's what it sounds like. It's only pre-blossom that you give them that discount, but otherwise you pay in full. Let's move on to the next part of the halacha. Amos Seifa. The Braisa continued that ochle pagamai boiser, that once the fig turned into pagim and the grapes turned into boiser, which is more advanced, now it's really looking like a fruit. So there, who over there, the Ryan Aysan, Kilo Anavim Aindasli Batsu. We treat them as though they're finished. We look at future potential. It's a fruit. You have to pay as though the fruit is fully grown. It's a high, you get a big bill. Let's make a dig. Right? So stage one, pre-blossom discount. Negligible. Pagim Baisa, which is sort of more advanced, stage three, you pay in full. What about stage two? Hasmadar, if it's that middle stage, you know, post-blossom, right away, right at the blossom, small buds, Royin Oysan, Kamahi Yafa, Vakamahi Sayafa. Look at current value. How much was the field worth before, and how much is it worth now after you pulled off those buds? But a minute ago, we had a deal that stage two gets you full payment. So which way is it? Again, the Braisa said, well, stage one, minimal payment. Apparently stage two, full payment. Then they say, well, stage three is full payment. Apparently stage two is partial payment. We have a stereo contradiction within the price. Amar Rabbeinu Kreich V'Tani will sort of wrap together the two things as one, like this. Says the price, when do we pay minimal? B'zman she'ochlu lo b'gefanim, v'chur te'enim. When it consumed these things pre-blossom. Aval, but stage two and stage three are lumped together and you're charged in full. Avalachla smadar, paganai boiser. So smadar is stage two, paganai boiser is stage three. In this case, you pay in full, roi, nois, and kula, novim, even as the butter. We view them as though they're finished and ready to be picked. Yachiv, that's the way to understand this shita, which is Rab Shimon ben Yehuda. Then Yachiv, Rab Shimon, Yehuda, Hani, Rab Yeshua. So it's exactly what Rab Yeshua said in the price as well. It's smadar, which is stage two, gets you full, a full bill. So why are they listed as separate opinions? There's a slight difference. Kash gufna, Rashi explains. According to both opinions, at stage two, you have to, you know, pay in full. But ultimately, there is kash gufna, you know, the vine would have to expend that effort to grow these grapes, which it's not doing now because you spared it that work, because you picked them up before the vine got to do it. So that nutrients, that effort, that you spare the vines from expending, perhaps you get a refund for that. I'm paying in full, but you're not putting in the work to produce those grapes. Your vineyard is resting now. So do I get a refund? Do I get a discount for that? That's the nafkamina. So one shita will say, I get a discount, and one will disagree. We're not sure which shita holds what, but ultimately that's the nafkamina. Abaye Omar Misaimi Misaimi. No, it's very well, it's clear, very well proven. Who says what? Man Tano de Chayesh L'Chash Gufna. Who's the Shita which reckons for this, you know, saved effort and basically weakening of the vine, which I get a refund for? Who's that Shita? Rav Shimon Yehuda. It's the second Shita. It's not Rav Shimon. He doesn't give you that discount. It's Rav Shimon Yehuda, because we find that he subscribes to this idea elsewhere, the Sanya. In a similar case, we'll give you a refund for work not done, for sparing the effort on account of the victim. Rav Shimon Yehuda, Imam Shimon, Rav Shimon Menashe. So it's Rav Shimon Yehuda speaking about an oinus, a fellow who forcibly gets involved with a woman. Eino mishalmas atzar, although there is fines and payments, but not paying tzar. Because b'pneisha soifel itzar tachas bal, that would happen in any case with her husband. So you get a refund for that. Amalei, the Chachamim disagreed. You still have to pay for tzar because there's an emotional Eino doimen of elas baratzen. How could you compare an isha who interacts physically with her husband as married willingly to a woman who's being forced to interact with this fellow? Is a totally different, you know, set of circumstances, and therefore you have to pay in full even for tzar. Bottom line is, you see that Rav Shimon Yehuda reckons for this sort of discount on account of the effort or pain or whatever that you would have experienced regardless. So I saved you, I spared you, I get that back. Amar Abaye. So on this topic of refunding for, you know, expenses that would have been experienced regardless, Amar Abaye, Hani Tanoi, the following two Tanoi that I'm going to quote in a minute, Ve'Rav Shimon Yehuda, and this sheet that we just mentioned, Amar Dover Echad, once again, Abaye is sort of lumping together, bundling together, they're all on the same track, you get a refund. Rav Shimon Yehuda Amar, that's what we just mentioned, Hani Tanoi, what are the other two Tanoi? Mahi, where do we find them? The Sanya, Reisi Eimen Neki Chaya. So we're speaking about a totally different story. A fellow struck an isha who was expecting, and he harmed the unborn children. He pays this payment called demei velades, the value of the unborn child. What about giving any sort of discount for expenses that would have been experienced if she would have had full term and given birth? So basically says, yeah, neki chay, you deduct the midwife's charge, which he spared her, he saved her that, right? Unfortunately, but end of the day, it would have been an expense that she would have experienced. But we deduct mezoinis, extra food that he would have had to, the husband would have had to spend on her, you know, at the childbirth juncture. So that much he saved him. So he gets that discount. Manda omeniki chaya, koshke niki mezoinis. According to the Shita, you deduct for the midwife, certainly for the mezoinis. You know, it's a justified expense that would have been, you know, umanda omar nikim mezoinis. But according to the one that says deduct for the expense for the eating, aval nikim chayla, you don't deduct for the midwife. The omar lay, because the husband can claim, I would have never spent that money. It is a didio, my wife pekichi, she's capable and boyachay, she doesn't need a midwife. So bottom line is, we find several opinions which sort of revolve around the same idea. Although you're liable and you're obligated to pay to compensate, but we sort of, you know, We factor in expenses which would have been spent and from which the victim was spared right now, and you get that discount. Okay, we had a story yesterday. We're going back to that story now, where a fellow chopped off a palm tree. So the Reish Galusa, the head of the community, obligated him to pay outright value. Rav Nachman said, no, Shishim, you work with these 60, you know, formula, which basically means you take 60, you know, palm trees, and you evaluate that, and then you sort of deduct for this one that's missing. That's sort of like a compromise formula, in which case you don't pay too much or too little, right? We discussed it yesterday. They had a story, a similar story, where some fellow chopped down a palm tree, and they did Reb Nachman's, you know, 60 formula. There's another version, a papa. That there was a palm tree that was harmed, and instead of you know, focusing on the value of the tree itself, they sort of evaluated how much a little piece of land, katinadara is a small plot of land with a palm tree on it, you know, would go for, how much it would be worth, which Rabbeinu Peretz says is also based on the Shishim formula, so 60 times as much, and in a field itself. So you look at the entire, you know, picture in totality, and you deduct for this fallen tree, and that's how much you pay. So as the Gemara Behilchasa Kavasei Rav Papa V'Rav Huna V'Rav Yeshua, we pass them like this shita, that we bundle it, we broaden it, we look at a big picture, B'dikla Darma, regarding a palm tree which wasn't so chash of a dekel arami, so that's sort of subordinate to a field. When it comes to a Persian palm tree, which is very chashiv, Rashi says in the bottom line, dikla parso, chashiv u'ma'oid, it's very high class, v'nisham v'nei atzmei, very high value tree, and it's sort of, you focus on the tree itself. It's not evaluated agav de karka, it's not part of a field, has its own independent prominence and identity, and therefore, in this case, we followed the Reish Galusa's opinion. You chopped it, you pay it. Says the Gemara, Eliezer Ze'ira, that was his name, Eliezer the small one, which is a lashon of a humility, like we have Shmuel HaKatan elsewhere. So that was his name. HaMesayim Misani Uchmi, he was wearing black shoes, which is, Rashi says, a minag of Avelim, of mourners. He's walking through the streets of Nardo. So the Reish Galusa's people, which weren't always the most high regarded people, they sometimes had a little bit of a condescending and violent streak to them. So they encounter this tzaddik walking down the street with his black shoes. Amr Lane, they ask him, Maishnani Masani, what's with the black shoes? Amr Lui says, what do you mean? Yerushalayim, Chorban Yerushalayim, Dekum Avilna, Yerushalayim, I'm mourning in Yerushalayim. So they took offense. Amr Lei at Chashivas leSabula Yerushalayim. Are you chashav enough to misabul Yerushalayim? Sover Yuharahu. They figured he's being, hardy. Asu v'chavshu, and they took him and they locked him up, put him in jail. Amr Lusi says, Gav Rabbanu, I'm a Talmud Chacham. Don't just, Amr Lei. They said, Menoyadina. How do we know? can you offer us some sort of litmus test that we can test you? Amr Lui says, sure. Here's the deal. Oy atun bo'u minoy milsa. You have a choice. Either you ask me something and see if I can answer. Oy anoy bo'u minoy milsa. I'll ask you something and ask you and see if you can. Amr Lui says, sure. Boyat. Good. We're up for the challenge. Present us with a stumper. Amr Lui says, okay, I have a question. Haiman the cuts kufra. My mishon. Person chops down. Kufra are these unfinished, unripe dates. Okay, so he picked off these things, he harmed them, he ruined them. What does he pay? Amr Lei Mishalem Nei Kufri. They said, very posh, you pay for the Kufra. Vahava Tamri. So he responded, what do you mean? Now they're Kufra, they're undeveloped, but they're potential dates. So ultimately he harmed that much more. Amr Lei said, okay, you're right. Mishalem Nei Tamri. He pays as though they were dates. Amr Lui says, no, that's not fair. Volav Tamri Shachman. He didn't take fully grown dates. Why would you bill him for dates? Amr Lui says, okay, you got us. Amalanat. No. Okay. What do you have to say about this? What's the fair formula? Amr Lui Bishishan. So he says, look, it's about Shishan. Rashi explains, rather than looking at the kufra themselves, you look at the entire picture. The tree with the kufr, with the field. And Rashi says when a person purchases a date orchard, he's also expecting, the dates. I mean, he's sort of factoring in the fact that he's going to have fully grown dates down the road, at the end of the season, right? So that's factored in. That's paid for. It's part of the price. So that's a fair way of evaluating loss. How much was the orchard worth before he chopped these kufra down, and how much is it now? So you're paying more than the actual kufra, because as we explained, a person is willing to pay a little bit more, knowing that at season's end, he has a fully grown orchard. Updates? So they liked, they heard that. Amr Lei, so they said to him, Man Amr Kavaseich. It's interesting, formula, anybody that works with this formula, Amr Lu, he says, sure. Famous Amoira, Dayan, Hashmuel Chay, based in Kayim. Look, Shmuel's alive, and look, his business and functioning. Go ask Shmuel if he agrees with me. Shadrach made Shmuel. So they went, they telegrammed Shmuel. Amar Lui says, sure, Shapir Kamer L'Chubi Shishim. Of course, that's the perfect formula. Well said. So now they were impressed, V'Shavku, and they let him go. They released him from prison. Realizing that he was a man that deserved respect and was deserving, was a man of stature, and it was befitting of him to actually wear those black shoes and be Mis'abel on Yerushalayim. Okay, now this idea of evaluating agav, a field, and doing the shishim formula, Reb Shimon says, Reb Shimon oima ochla peiros gmurim, that's only if the peiros that the animal ate were unripe and, you know, unfinished, and they're still sort of relating to the field with the garden, so it's sort of all one thing. But if the fruit was fully grown, ochla peiros gmurim, and the animal just ate up a bunch of bananas off the tree, you pay full value. My time. It says, why? Why is this different? The answer is like this. When the Torah says, evaluate the damage based on the total value of the field, which teaches us this idea that we sort of relate to the field, that's only with something that's still connected to the field. And still needs the field to grow. So it relates to the field, identifies with the bigger picture. Honey, but fully grown fruit, they're out of there. They don't need the field anymore. They're fully grown, so therefore you pay value for value. You should know that Rav, he paskened with an actual story like Reb Meir. We'll see in a minute what that means. When it comes to the halacha and the Beis Medrash, he paskened to his talmidim, to his students like Reb Shimon. Explains it more. Don Rav Reb Meir, on the one hand, he paskened like Reb Meir. So we have a field which is designated for the ksuba peya to the wife. Okay, so she's still married, but we have a field which was sort of earmarked for that. The husband decided to sell that field. Kosav the Rishon, he wrote a document, a sale document to Reuven, and the Isha failed to sign on to that shtar, meaning she didn't consent to this sale because she has a full right to withhold that sale. It's her lien. But it happened again, a second time. The husband sold it to Shimon, and this time she actually signed on to the document. So she loses the ksuba rights, meaning she abandoned this lien because, you know, she can't say, well, I was just trying to be nice to my husband. Well, the first time around you weren't. First time around you didn't cooperate. So why did you the second time around? Apparently, this time you decided to sell it. No. She can just say, look, Nachas ruach osisi labali. I was trying to be nice to my husband. Atem malachem alai. What kind of claim do you have against me? It's unfair. So first time around, okay, I was sort of held my ground, but it was repetitive. I just went along with it. But really, I did not want to abandon or relinquish my lien on this field. So in this respect, Rav paskened like Reb Meir, that she lost her rights. In a different context, Rav paskened like Reb Shimon, called us non, like we have in the Mishnah of Shimon Oimer, with respect to damages. The animal ate fully grown produce. You pay value as is without evaluating the general, you know, field and all that. Imsa, the animal ate a saw, you pay a saw. Imsa sign, you pay a sign. Okay, so let's just recap. We learned about the animal consuming unfinished products. We had a question of whether we look at the future value. That was one machlekes. Several shittas on that. We had a shaila whether we deduct for expenses that I spared you. Another shaila. We had a story with Elazar Ze'iri with the black shoes. And then we had the halacha here. Peiros gmurim are paid as is. Says the Mishnah, Hamagdish b'soich sadeh chaver shel berushos. A person made a godish, pile of grain, in his friend's backyard without permission. V'chloson b'emtei shebal asadeh, and his animal ate my stuff, potter. He doesn't have to pay for that. I had no permission to be there. On the other hand, v'muskoban, if his animal slipped on my stuff, bala godish chayiv, I have to pay. V'mhigdish berushos bala sadeh chayiv, I had permission. And your animal consume my stuff, you have to pay. Leimot nan lo karebi. Well, the Mishnah says, if you gave me permission and you're responsible, that's not going like Rebbe, who requires explicit commitment to guard my stuff. Otherwise, you're not responsible. The Rebbe, going to Rebbe, Ha'amar says, and she kabbled all of Alamayas Lishma. You're not liable for my possessions in your territory unless you specifically said you're undertaking that achrayas. Omar Papa, the reason why now, Mishnah, you are responsible, the landowner. Ha'cha ben notar bedori askinah. We're speaking on a fellow whose job it is to watch over, you know, grains and stuff like that. So this shomer, this guard, was hired for these to watch over these things. The kivan the amalei ayelu gdoi. So once he tells me, bring in your grain and pile it up, ayel ve'enta lachu. What he meant really to say is, bring it in, I'll watch it, because that's his job. So it's understood. Says the Mishnah, shaleichas abiroi v'adcheresh shoyte v'katan. Person took a fire and hands it to somebody irresponsible, cheresh shoyte v'katan, and he burns down the city. Potter b'dini adam v'chay b'dini shemayim. In Bezin, they can't do anything because I only caused. I'm a grumma. I didn't actually do anything. But in shemayim, they hold him accountable. Shilech b'yat pikeach. But if he sent a fire in the hands of a mentally stable and healthy person, ha'pikeach chayv, and he burned down the city, he has to pay. Now let's say echad hevi esor. Reuben brings the fire to the party. V'echad hevi esa eitzim. The other fellow brings the firewood. So Shimon is the one who caused the mazik. Maybe it's a eitzim chayiv. Shimon brought the firewood. He's the chayiv. On the other end, echad eivis a eitzim. Echad eivis a or. First, Shimon brought his fire and his firewood, and then Reuben brought the fire. So he made the mazik. Maybe it's a or chayiv. Reuben is chayiv. Now suppose, you know, the fire was sort of dormant, wasn't going anywhere. Ba'achir v'liba, what fellow comes along, Levi, and comes and blows up the fire and blows into it and gets it going. Hambalah b'chayiv. He's chayiv. Libsa ruach. But if the wind did it, Kulam tur and they're all pot. Amrish lakish mishmeda chizkiya loishono. When do we say that handing the fire to the cheyushet v'katan exempts me? Elo shemasa like achilas. Believe only if I gave him a coal and he, the katan, you know, got the flame going. Ava masalish shall have a schay. But if I gave him an actual flame, which can cause a fire, I'm chay. My time of why massive gomelay. My activity, my act caused the fire. See, Rish Lakish. Remember, Rish Lakish held that the chiyuv of Eish is mishum mamoinai. Rabbi Yechanan says mishum chitzav. It's like an arrow. It's a personal act. Rish Lakish says it's like your possession, like your animal. So here, when I took a fire, which is burning, right? Shalevis, a flame, and I handed it over, I'm responsible. It's like my possession. So whether I gave it to an, it doesn't matter. Even if I gave it to a katan, I'm chayv. Rabbi Yechon Omar, no, I feel a moshel shalev as pot. Even I gave him a fire outright. I'm pot in my time of why. Tzavsa the cheresh gomel, the association of the cheresh with a fire, caused the, you know, the damage. Because Rabbi Yechon holds, ishay mishim chitzav. Why am I chayv when I burn? It's like my arrow. It's a personal expression. But if there is somebody else involved, a cheresh is the one that's actually spreading it. It's his issue, not mine. The only way I'm chayv, Vilein Mechayiv is Achim Shalai Gamza Silta Shraga. The only way I'm Chayiv when I give it to a Cheresh is if I'm totally careless and negligent. I give him the little spindles, the Gamza, the Silta. The Gamza is the firewood, Silta is the little spindles to, you know, to start the fire, Shraga, and a candle with an actual flame. Because in that case, I'm so outright negligent. It's called a pshia mamish. Da'u vade, because certainly in that case, vade mas de garmo, my activity, my act caused the fire. Okay, so once again, we had a blot discussing an animal damaging unfinished produce. Chacham say we look at current value. Other shita say we look at the future value. Sometimes we deduct for expenses which you would have incurred had I not come and damaged. Discussed different ways of evaluating damage to a palm tree, depending on its significance, on its chashivus. We had the story of the Rish Galusa and Ze'iri Eloza Ze'ira. We had the Shita Reb Shimon. Peiros Gburim generates actual value payment. And we had the Mishnah with the Gadish and the other fellow's backyard. We had the story with the fire handed to the Cheir Shoytev HaKatan. All the best to you and Hatzlocha Rabbah.